Listen to what happens. As soon as they crossed over the Jordan, they come into the promised land. They ate from the produce of the land. When did they plant? They walked in to a harvest.
We are sowing God's word, growing in Christ, and bringing in the harvest. And now join us for today's message from Harvest Church.
There are things that the Lord wants to show us. He started showing us last service. And just coming into this service, you know, that one of those other things, right, that have been very oppressive to the church has been faith, right? Faith has been a very oppressive thing. And what I mean by oppressive is that it feels like a weight. Right? And you know for sure that faith is a weight on your back when you ask yourself questions, like when you're going through a hard time and you ask yourself questions, do I have enough faith? Right? In other words, when you begin to measure how much you have and you begin to worry about whether you have enough of it or not, right? It's one of those things that have become a real issue for people let me show you something. Mark 11, and you will see exactly how the Lord will tie all this together, but Mark chapter 11, verse number 22. It's just funny because what the Lord wants is for us to see our liberty in Christ, and just the mere thing that you begin to really truly search for Him, you know, the way the Lord tells us that He says, seek first the kingdom of God. So there is definitely a priority that He's trying to show us, right? That above all things, right? Above all things, seeking Him is first. But you know why that is? Because this thing that people are oppressed by, which is by faith, really truly what you're going to see is that really what you have in your life that is from God is really truly by faith. But it should not be by faith this oppressive thing to be able to get it, because if I don't have enough faith, I can't have what God wants me to have. Look at what He says. And this is actually true, and people preach it in a way, the way it's written, but not the way the Spirit of God teaches it, right? But just the letter of how it's written, right? Look how it, in verse number 22, and so we said Mark 11:22, and Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Have faith in God. A literal translation would say, have the faith of God. Have the faith of God. In other words, receive the faith that is of God. And that'll make sense in a second. The Young's Literal Translation, if we switch there, which we're not going to right now, would say that. It says, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith, right? And the truth of the matter is, you know what? Let's not water this down and let's say it exactly how he said. The Lord Jesus said that whatever you say, right, you will have whatever you say. Whatever you say. And there's no reason to try to skirt around the fact that that is true, right? You will have whatever you say. The thing is that the only thing you should say, right, what we should have in our mouth, right, is what we believe. Because the Bible says that we believe, we have believed, therefore we speak, right? So you should speak what you believe, right? You should speak what you believe. But here's the other thing though, that for you, in other words, what you have faith, right? The faith that comes from the Lord, that comes into your heart, right? That's the word of faith which we preach. That's the word of faith that you speak, right? Faith is in your heart and faith is in your mouth, right? That's Romans chapter 10. Faith is in your heart and faith is in your mouth. So if you have faith and you speak, right? But here's the only thing is, here's what is neglected to say. It is true that if what you believe by faith and you speak, you will have it. And it will be done for you, the Bible also says, right? In other words, the Lord is the one that performs things, right? And you will have it. That's entirely, entirely true. And people want to say, hip, hip, hooray! I can have whatever I say. I'm going to have a great job. I'm going to prosper. I'm going to have a $1 million home. I'm going to live in Beverly Hills. Blah, 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 blah. And they say all of these things, right? But the thing is, they're missing a huge piece of it, right? And here's what they're missing. Look in Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 22. In Galatians 5, verse number 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit. Thank God that He's taught us that we have the Spirit on the inside of us. The Spirit of Christ dwells in us, and by the Spirit of God on the inside of us, right, He bears fruit. That's why it's called His fruit and not ours, right? It's His fruit. He is the one that bears fruit. Jesus in John 15, He said that He is the vine, we are the branches. Branches don't bear fruit, right? Right? In other words, branches may seem as though they're birthing something, right? But where the life comes from and where the fruit is coming from is from the vine. So the fruit comes from the vine through the branch and the fruitfulness of seen. But the fruitfulness is of the vine. The fruitfulness is not of the branch. The branch is just a conduit of the fruit, right? So I am not, when the Lord says, you know, that I want to bear fruit, and when you say, you know, I want to be fruitful, what you're really saying is you want God to produce fruit through you. Because Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. So He's saying, without me, you cannot bear fruit. So what does that mean? That it's not coming from you. Because if it was, you could do it without Him. Right? So He's saying, without me, you cannot bear fruit. That's what without me, you can do nothing means, right? Because people have argued that many times. They say, well, what do you mean that without me, I can do nothing? Because I can do a lot of things without you, Jesus. Right? But what He's saying is, you cannot bear fruit without me. But listen to what that means. That means that the patience of God that you need as a fruit, you cannot have supernatural patience without Jesus. That means that you cannot have, watch what He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. You cannot love your enemies without Jesus. That's not true. You cannot love your enemies without Jesus, right? It's not true that you can really, and I'm going to make sure because I don't think that sounded right, right? I'm not saying that it's not true that you can't love them, right? It's not true. It's not true that you can love your enemies, right? Because that's not, right, in the flesh what people do is that they hate their enemy. They hate their enemy. But so it's not possible, this is John 15, right? It's not possible that you love, right, with God's kind of love, right? With His love. So in other words, you can't love your enemies. You can't love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength, which is really faith in Him. But the love that we need to portray, which is the love of God, right? And here's what's interesting. No one has a problem talking about the love of God that is in us, but nobody teaches you about the faith of God that is in you. The love of God that is in you is His fruit. And that's why people can talk about the love of God and how you can show the love of God. Why? Because He's in you, right? And He bears that fruit of love. But it's the same thing with joy, because love is a fruit, but so is joy. Joy, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. But what is the next one, right? It's faith. It's not faithfulness. It's not faithfulness, right? It's faith. That is a fruit, right? If you look at the word, the Greek word for faith, and you look at the Greek word for faith in Mark 11:22, it's the same word. It's not a derivative of it. It's not something that's off of that root. It's the exact same word. It's faith there, and it's faith over there. Now, because some translations change it to faithfulness, the church ignores that. And they don't talk about that being the faith that we receive. But here's the thing. How in the world could you believe it just with a carnal mind, right? Outside of Jesus, how could you ever in a million years speak to a mountain and tell it to move? And let alone to jump into the sea. And I don't know how far the sea is that you're telling it to jump in, but you know what I'm saying? How do you do that? In other words, what you're saying is, how do you say impossible things and see them happen? How does Elijah say it will not rain for 3.5 years and it does not? How do you do that? Right? I saw a little thing yesterday. We were watching Andy Griffith and these gypsies, right? They were in Mayberry and they were going to cast a spell over Mayberry because Mayberry wanted to kick out the gypsies because they were selling their junk all over the place and it was really junk and it wasn't true and they were lying, right? So they kick them out. So they didn't like that. So they said, we are going to cast a spell over Mayberry. And the spell was that it wasn't going to rain. But you know what they were doing? They were just listening to a four-way radio or whatever it is that they were listening to. And they were getting the weather, right, before it actually got to the radios in that town. So they knew when the rain was coming. So because they knew it was a drought, they said, we said, the gypsy says, it's not going to rain. And then when they heard that it was going to rain in 3 days, in 72 hours the rain would come, they came back into the town and they said, okay, now we're going to say that we love you so much and we want you to let us back in because we love you so much, we're going to let the rain come back in 72 hours. And sure enough, in 72 hours, what happened? It rained. But how did they do that, right? Because they cheated and they lied. And that's the only way that men could ever say things like that, that it would ever appear to be possible. But the thing that I want to show you is, how do men believe things that are impossible? How do men believe that a virgin gave birth to a baby? Has it ever been seen? Do you have anything in history that tells you that you can see with your eyes or hear with your ears that could possibly tell you that that could actually happen? No one can show you that. And that's why the things of God are foolishness to the world. Because if you judge those things by the hearing of your ears and by the sight of your eyes, you would say that's foolishness. Who would ever believe that a virgin could give birth? Right? A virgin can give birth. It's humanly impossible, right? But it is true. It is humanly impossible. But with God, all things are possible. So what I want to show you is that faith without Christ, right? We cannot have faith. Without the Spirit of God, right? You could not have faith. Why? Because you cannot understand. You know what faith is, really? Faith is seeing the unseen. Faith is seeing. Faith is perception, right? Faith is seeing. So when you have faith, you can see. Now you can't see, you don't see with these eyes, right? But faith is seeing. Faith is hearing, right? So the way we're able, even the day you were born again, that you would believe that God sent His only Son into the earth. Just look at this, how simple it is. God sent His only beloved Son into the world. The Word became flesh, right? And dwelt among us. And we beheld the glory of God through the face of a man. And you were able to see the nature of God by just looking at a man. You could see God because they are one, right? And that man is the express image of the Father. How could it ever fit in a carnal mind that is true? You could not have ever thought of that by yourself. So here is the only thing that you have to understand, right? The only way you knew that is because you receive the faith that is of Christ, right? Not yours. Because your faith, because people sometimes compare it. See, faith is like this. Faith is like a chair. You know, because we have faith every day. Because every time we sit down, we have faith that chair is going to hold me, right? But that's not the same kind of faith. That kind of faith wouldn't have saved you. That faith is natural faith, right? So that kind of faith, you would never have understood with that faith, right, what you have in Christ. But there is a faith, right, that is a fruit. And that's what you really need to see. Listen, I'm not the one that's saying is a fruit. The faith, right, that it says right there, it's the faith is a fruit of the Spirit, right? Faith is a fruit of the Spirit. So what you see over and over again, especially when you read it like in a literal translation, what I continue to see over and over again is that when the Bible refers to faith, it constantly says the faith of Christ, the faith of Jesus Christ. Let me show you another one. Romans chapter 3, and look at verse number 20. You know, can I tell you something? If it is true that by faith, listen to what the Word of God says, right? That, and we'll see if we have time to look at it, but that the things, in other words, you were saved by grace through faith. That's how you were saved, right? In other words, salvation is yours and you did not earn it. Right? Salvation is yours. We understand that, right? Salvation is yours and you did not earn it. So faith could not have been a work. Because if faith was a work that you did, something that you conjured up, right? Then it is a work. And then salvation is actually a payment for your faith. But see, how many times have we looked at it like that, right? How many times have you been taught, right, in past years, right? Right? Wherever it is that you came from, or if you turn on the TV and you see somebody preaching about faith, how many times are we not erroneous? And not every time that faith is taught is it taught wrong. But how many times have you heard that, you know what, you have to have more faith. You have to have more faith. They don't tell you that what you're doing is that the Spirit of God will bear fruit, right? Bear fruit. So there is a fruit of righteousness, right? Righteousness is a gift to you. Righteousness is a gift to you. But nobody's telling you, you don't worry about going out to get more righteousness, right? Because you know that you have been made righteous, right? And just like you don't go out and worry about having, you know, do I have enough? Do I have enough joy? Do I have any patience? Do I have enough meekness? Right? Am I humble enough? All of these things, they're all things that you take for granted. You say, you know what, Lord? You are those things in me. Therefore, I can receive those things from the Spirit of God that's on the inside of me. Listen, faith is an important thing. Faith is an important thing because it's by faith in Christ. Faith, Pastor Mike just said a little bit ago, is our obedience, right? That faith is our obedience. But if faith is a fruit, and what we need to do is we need to receive faith by doing what? By hearing, right? Because there is something that we have to do. There is something that we have to do. For faith to come, and we said last service, where does faith come from? Right, faith comes by hearing and hearing from by the Word of God. But where does it come from? Because it's coming from somewhere, right? Faith is coming from somewhere. So when you hear, faith is coming from somewhere. So where is it coming from? From the Spirit of God that is on the inside of you. How do you know that it's coming from the Spirit of God on the inside of you? Because it's a fruit, right? It's a fruit. So when you hear, faith comes from where? From the Spirit of God on the inside of you. How do you know that faith is a fruit? Because the Spirit of God said, right, and wrote down for our admonition so that we would know it and so you wouldn't think that people are making stuff up, that the fruit of the Spirit is faith. I know love is the first one, but let's not confuse ourselves. So you say a couple and then you forget what comes later, right? Faith, the fruit of the, if that was the only verse and the other fruits were not there, your scripture would say the fruit of the Spirit is faith. The fruit of the Spirit is faith, right? The fruit of the Spirit is faith. Look at what it says. Romans chapter 3 and verse number 20. Look, it says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, they shall no flesh be justified in his sight. So this is preparing our hearts and talking to us about working, right? Working to keep the law. So the context of what you're reading is what? Works, right? You will never be justified by working any kind of work. Any kind of work, right? You'll never be justified by working. So look at what it says. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But it says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Now, the righteousness of God that it's talking about there is Jesus, who is our righteousness, right? Because it says by the law and the prophets, the law and the prophets testified of what? Jesus said, they testify of me. Right? So when it says there, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, where is the righteousness of God manifested, right? The righteousness of God is manifested in Christ Jesus, right? And it says, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, right? And Jesus Christ was testified by the law and by the prophets that were before, and he testified about Jesus Christ. Now watch verse number 22. Even the righteousness of God, the righteousness which is of God. Now listen to that for a second. The righteousness is of God. But you know that you're called the righteousness of God in Christ. But listen to that for a second. Whose righteousness is it? The righteousness is God's, not yours. Right? The righteousness of God, right? Is God, not you. And we don't have a problem with that. We don't. No, nobody's telling you have to go get more righteousness, right? Because you say, no. The righteousness is of God, it's not mine. Right? It's been given to me. The righteousness of God has been given to me, right? It's been given to me. So what has the righteousness of God been done? It's been given to you. That's going to be important in a second, right? It's been given to you. Right? Listen to this. It says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith, what does it say there? Of Jesus Christ. Right? Not by faith in Jesus Christ. By the faith of Jesus Christ. Right? Look at what it says. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith in Jesus Christ, listen, unto all and upon all that of all them that believe, for there is no difference. So look at what that's saying. That the righteousness of God, the righteousness of God which is by the faith of Jesus Christ, needs to be sure to all. Needs to be sure to all. It is sure, a sure thing, on all and upon all and on all. It says, what does it say exactly? It says, unto all and upon all of them that believe. But now, so here's the thing then, right? That there it separates those two things, believing and faith, right? Believing and faith. Because believing is a trust that you have in God, right? Believing is a trust that you have in God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, right? And it's by faith also that we understand, right? By faith we understand that the worlds were formed by the Word of God. So faith is an understanding. By faith you understand. You can see and you understand, right? But you see and you understand. So here it says that the righteousness of God, His righteousness, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ, is unto all and upon all of them that believe. So here's what you see. That if faith is a fruit, right? If faith is a fruit, it's something that you cannot work for. It's just something that my God, this is so, if you can hear this, it's so important for you, right? If faith is a fruit, you cannot work for it. So the concept in your mind that you have to go get more fruit, I don't even know where you're going to get it anyway. Right? Where we used to think that way. Like, you're going to go get it, so what you did is you just read more, because that's where you go get it. You open up your Bible and you read a bunch of stuff because you want to get more. And that's not even where faith comes from, right? Because you can't search the scriptures and get faith, right? So faith can only come by the Spirit of God, right? By the Spirit of God. And it is a fruit, right? So here's something to establish in your heart. I cannot produce more faith, Lord. Faith is of the Spirit of God and I can't produce it. And how do you know? Because you wouldn't have needed the Holy Spirit then if you were going to get saved, right? You could have just read the Bible, understood it, and gotten saved, right? In other words, if you could have faith by yourself, you don't need Jesus. You just, somebody give you a Bible, right? And you just start reading it and you're like, oh man, when you get to the New Testament, you're like, oh, I always knew it. Yeah, there's a Savior. I'm saved. Hallelujah, right? But you can't do that by yourself, because without the vine, you can't bear fruit, right? What is it that you cannot do without the vine? You cannot bear fruit. You cannot bear fruit. So just look at this for a second. Everything that is not the fruit of the Spirit is of the flesh. Did you just hear that, right? That everything that is not a fruit of the Spirit is of the flesh. And we are not in the flesh, but we are in the Spirit, Romans chapter 8 says, right? So basically everything that you do as a Christian, right, that is prosperous and fruitful, all of it comes from the Spirit. Because you cannot bear fruit without Him. Listen, that's such a critical verse to understand, right? Jesus said, without me, you can do nada, nothing. I don't know how to say it in German, right? But you can't do anything. You can't do anything without Him. So that means that if you need Him to do it, it doesn't mean that He's supplementing you to do something. It's that you can't do it without Him. And the only reason that it can be done with Him is because He's the one that does it. What did Abraham understand? What was it that Abraham had understood and has understood according to the flesh? He said that he believed God, the God who spoke and would do what He said. Abraham didn't say that he believed God, that God would use him to bring His will to pass, right? He said, what was it that Abraham believed? That it was that righteousness that we're trying to, in some way, shape, or form, get to here today, right? That the righteousness that it says there came upon him and was imputed unto him. What was it that Abraham believed? Listen, that we are called sons of Abraham and those that have the same faith as Abraham, right? What was it that Abraham believed? He believed God. He believed God, and whatever God told him, he believed that God said it, okay, because he was hearing Him, right, and that God would do it, both things, that God would do what He said. Much of the church doesn't believe that God will do what He said. I mean, if you ask anyone in the church, do you believe that God will keep His word and He'll do whatever He said, they'll say yes. Okay, so if you hear the word of God, who's going to do it? I am. I have to do the will of God. Well, no, you just contradicted yourself. You said that if God says something, He's going to do it. But God told you something, so you're going to do it? I thought God would bring His word to pass. Right? They said, oh, no, but that's not what I meant. You have to do your part. But see what it is that the church believes, people believe in general, right, that they can do something without Jesus. They believe that there is a fruit, something. I can have faith. And then they're beat up in church because they're not having enough faith, right? You have to have enough faith. And if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be thou removed, that you can do this and you can do that. And all of these things happen. But we're not told that it's a fruit. We're told we have to produce it. And if you fail, it's because you didn't have enough faith. But all along, listen. What has the Word of God always spoken in our hearts? And what verse has always rung true in your mind? Faith comes by hearing. Faith doesn't come by you going to chase after and get it. Faith doesn't come by you reading 7 chapters in a verse. Faith doesn't come from anywhere else. Faith comes from the Spirit of God when we hear what He's saying. What happened to Abraham? Abraham didn't have a Bible, right? But what happened to him? The Lord spoke to him. And he believed the Spirit of God. He believed the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God spoke to him and he believed what the Spirit of God told him. And because he believed what the Spirit of God told him, God imputed righteousness unto that man. Right? Look at what it says in verse number 22 here. Romans 3:22. even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Can we fast forward a little bit to chapter 4, right? The next chapter. Chapter 4 and verse number 13. Same thought, right? Same letter to the Romans. Right? Different chapter doesn't mean anything. Men put chapters in there, right? So look at verse number 13 of Romans 4. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world. Listen, God promised Abraham some big stuff, right? God told Abraham, you're going to be an heir of the world. The man was old with no kids, right? And the Lord tells him, you're going to have a son. And no. You and your wife are going to have a son. And she was so old, she laughed at the idea. She laughed. She said, I've been through menopause already. Listen, you don't go back, right? Once you've been through it, you're done. The factory's closed, right? But she laughed. She laughed when she heard that, right? But listen to what it says. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed, whom we are, right, of the seed of Christ, right? But it says, was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law. It wasn't through works that Abraham did it, but through the righteousness of faith. Through the righteousness of faith. Watch. For if they which are of the law be heirs. In other words, if you keep the law, if you can supposedly keep the law yourself, if God makes you an heir that you can receive and be an heir of the world like Abraham was, he says, then here's what happens. If you can earn it, if there is something, listen to me people, please, if there is something that you can do to receive it, if there is something that you can do to receive the things of God, that you can do and say, okay, I did this, now Lord, in other words, like you're indebting him. Lord, I did this, so now you have to do that, right? Look at what it says. It says that if you do that, right, it says, for if they which are of the law are heirs, listen to the first thing that is void, faith. It says faith is made void. Now why is faith made void by works? Why is it that if we think that we can earn something and be good, why is the first thing that is made void is faith? Why? Because faith is not a work, right? Because faith comes as a fruit from the Spirit of God. And if we're working, we cannot receive anything from the Spirit of God. If we're working, we can't receive the fruitfulness of the Spirit. Why? Because the Spirit of God cannot work when we're not hearing. Because we're not hearing because we're busy working. We're busy earning it. Not hearing, which is the thing that Abraham was doing and which God encourages us to do, to hear the Spirit of God. And said over and over again in the book of Revelation that we have an ear to hear. Let us hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the church. Over and over and over and over and over again, he said that we would hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the church. That we would hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the church, right? It's kind of hard to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the church when people aren't in the church, right? But it's good. He's hearing, right? It's good that he heard and we're hearing too. And then it says, look at what he says. He says, because the law, faith is made void and the promise is made of none effect. So it says that if we could work for it, the first thing that is void is faith. Right? And then the next thing that is void is the promise of God. It's of no effect to us, right? It won't positively impact our lives. And verse number 15 then says, because the law worketh wrath, for where there is no law, there is no transgression. Listen to verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith. Listen, therefore, it is of faith, but listen to both ways, right? Normally when people say, so you see, it is of faith, you have to have more faith. But that's not what this is saying. Watch the tone. Look at what he says. So therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end that the promise might be sure to all seed. You see what that's saying? That when it is of true faith, right? It's actually by the grace of God that you're receiving it. And it's sure to everyone who believes. You see what he just said before? And I'll just read it to you. We can stay where we are. But he says in verse number 22, he says, even the righteousness of God, you are made righteous, right, as a gift. The Bible says that if you receive the abundance of grace and the gift of the righteousness of God. Hold. The what of the righteousness of God? The gift. How do you receive the gift of the righteousness of God if you have to work to get more faith? That's not a gift, is it? The Bible says that if it's a gift, right, it's by the grace of God. But if it's by work, then you deserve a payment. So if I need to go get more faith and I have to work for my faith, that means that the righteousness is not imputed unto me. Righteousness is owed to me. Right? If I can work for my righteousness, then it's not a gift at all. It's owed unto me. But sometimes we're made to think, like, you know what, I have to work to get more faith. But if you're working, right, then things should be a payment to you. God owes you that. You've indebted God because you've done your part. But if faith is actually a fruit, then all that he's asking, listen to how beautifully simple this becomes, right? The Lord is saying, I put everything on the inside of you. Everything on the inside of you. He says, and I need you, he said, to be able to see. Because if you can see what's in you, you'll receive it. So he says, I put everything on the inside of you. And here's what he's saying. Everything that is in you is by faith, right? So that it might be through the grace of God, right? So that it could be sure. Listen, so that what we have in us, to all of us that are here and to every Christian around the world, right? The exceeding greatness of the power of God that is in us should be sure to everyone, regardless of their age, regardless of how long they've been going to church, regardless of all of these things, but that as we grow in the knowledge of who He is in us, right? But if we make knowing who He is in us, because isn't that really indeed what faith is? The faith of Christ, right, is us being able to see Him. The faith of Christ is Him giving you the ability to be able to see Him. Well, you know what your Bible says? Your Bible says that Jesus taught in parables, because those that He taught in parables, He says, hearing they don't hear, and seeing they don't see. Who is it that they didn't hear, and who is it that they didn't see? Him. They didn't hear Him, they didn't see Him, right? So you know what He's done? He says, but to you, He said. Listen, these are powerful words, right? It's been given to you to know. You didn't work to know. It's been given to you to know. Why? What is it that you have in you? Listen, the mind of Christ. Do you really have to go get faith? Or do you have to think the thoughts of God? He said to the unrighteous man, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. He said, let the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts and forsake his ways. But to us, he said what? That he has given to us the mind of Christ. Do you really have to go get more faith? Or do you need the faith of Christ that is in you to rise up into your heart? How? Hearing. Where does it come from? Faith comes by hearing. That verse is not supposed to be an oppressive verse for the church. That faith comes by hearing, so you better go hear, right? It says faith comes by hearing. Let your soul delight itself in who He is in you. Let your soul delight itself on how good God is. He says, come to me, all you that are weary and heavy laden. He says, for I am, he said he's meek and he's gentle, right? That doesn't sound like the faith that we're asked to chase after. Jesus didn't say chase after faith. But why? Well, you have to have faith. You have the faith. Okay, Lord, I have to have faith. Well, how does it come? I don't know, but I just got to have more of it. Right? The mind of Christ on the inside of you. Faith is a fruit. Righteousness is a gift to you. It's a gift to you. See, what it's, we go about all of these things. Jesus says, you know what He said to you? He says that if you seek, He promised you that you would find. Anyone who seeks. You know why it has to be like that? Because anyone that seeks the Lord Jesus Christ has to find them, or else it is not sure to all the seed. He said it has to be sure. It says that the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Christ, it says that it would be unto all and upon all. There is no difference, he said. Look at what he says. There is no difference. The last, can we turn there, 3:22? Romans 3:22, he says, there is no difference. No difference. There's no difference between me and you. There's no difference between you and Billy Graham. There's no difference between the women in this room and Joyce Meyer. There is no difference. There is no difference. No difference between you. You don't have more faith. You have the same faith of Jesus Christ. If you're saved and the Spirit of God is in you, you have the mind of Christ. Your thoughts are His thoughts. Your ways are His ways. You have the faith of God on the inside of you.
And that concludes today's message. This message was recorded at Harvest Church, located at 2631 Route 52, Liberty, New York. Harvest Church meets every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. and every Wednesday and Friday at 7 p.m. For more information and free downloads of all of our messages, visit us at harvestinus.com. Thank you for listening.